Sadvastaya namo namaha Namashrestam manumapi sachiputram matra swarupam Rupam dasya grajam rupurim Maturim gostavatim Radha kundam girivara maho radhika madhavasam Prapto yasya pratita kripaya Shri gurum tam natosmi Ajanulam bhuto bhujo kanakavadato Sankirtanaika Pitaro Kamalayatakso Vishvambaro Dvijavaro Yugadharma Palo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karuna Avataro Anarpita Chirim Chirat Karuna Avatirnakalo Samarpaitam Anujvala Rasam Swabhakti Sriyam Hari Purata Sundara Dyuti Kadamba Sandipitaha Sada Hridaya Kandare Spuratuva Sachinandanaha Utama Adama Kichuna Bachila Jachi Adile Kakola Kahe premananda emona goranga hridaya dhariya bola Bhaja goranga kaha goranga la gorangera namare bolo Bhaja goranga la gorangera namare Jejana goranga bhaje se hoyamar kanare Jejana goranga bhaje Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Yashaiva Padambuja Bhakti Labhya Prema Vidana Parama Pumarta Tasmai Jagan Mangala Mangalaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. So, this evening, we'd like to speak something to you about Krishna's heart. If you go to the hospital and you have an x-ray taken, they can see what's inside of your chest. Similarly, the Srimad Bhagavatam gives us an x-ray of what's inside of Krishna's heart.
Также Шриман Бхагаватам он показывает, как бы видит такой рентген, такой снимок, что внутри сердца Кришны.
In the ninth canto of Шримад Бхагаватам, Krishna tells Durvasa Muni.
В девятой песне Шриман Бхагаватам Кришна говорит Дурвасе Муни.
Садаво ридаям майам, саданам ридаям твахам, мананья те на джананти, нахам те бьо манагапи. He said that the sadhu is in my heart. The devotees are in my heart. And I'm in the heart of my devotees. My devotees don't know anything but me. And I don't know anything but them. So, of the different principles of bhakti, one of the most important principles is to associate with devotees. It's described that sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastri koi, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy. That sadhu sangha is the most important principle, again and again described in shastra. And it's described that even a moment's association with a sadhu, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy, can give one all perfection. What does it mean to do sadhu sangha? If lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy, you can get perfection just by one moment of association with a sadhu, why haven't I gotten that perfection? Every day I'm getting to associate with Arjuna Prabhu when he comes and brings us prasadam. For more than a second. But why is it I'm not getting perfection? We should ask this question. Someone may have some doubts. Maybe Shastra is just being poetic, it doesn't really mean it. Or maybe I'm not doing something right. Or an even worse doubt, maybe there's something wrong with the devotees I'm associating with. We recently visited Gurgaon in Delhi. Gurgaon's kind of like the Beverly Hills of India. Okay, so one of the wealthiest places. And one devotee picked us up from the airport, and he was driving us. He asked if he could ask some questions. He started revealing his mind. He said, you know, I've been coming to the temple now for a little over a year. And when I first came, I was so happy, it was so amazing. But now I don't understand, after 1 year, I don't feel as happy as I used to. I asked him, I said, who have you been talking to? What have you been saying about other people? Association with the devotees is a most important principle. My revered spiritual master, he used to say that when you came here, when you first came, you were very good. You were very simple. And all you wanted was Krishna. But now, after some years, you've become sophisticated. You become a senior devotee. And now you're thinking about your career in Krishna consciousness. This temple president is not good. I should do that. Maybe I'll become a sannyasi soon. Then I'll become a GBC. And I'll solve everyone's problems in society. In this way, some kapatya, he said, some duplicitousness has come in your heart. When we come in the beginning, we're very happy because we're simple. And on our simple nature, we have faith in all the devotees. And if we could stay in that situation, everything would be very good. But after some time, we start becoming sophisticated. Not all of these devotees are good. This Arjun Krishna, I saw him eating some prasadam in the bathroom the other day. So we start criticizing devotees. Because I'm a senior devotee now. I know who's who and what's what. If I remain simple, then I'll be sentimental and someone will cheat me. And little by little, like the story of the frog who was trying to give an estimate of the size of the Atlantic Ocean, or pride starts becoming bigger and bigger. Until finally one day you explode. The devotees are not good. The temple's not good. ISKCON's not good. And I'll go somewhere else. I'll do something else. Thakur Bhaktivinoda has described two types of persons. He called them the antarmukh janas and the bahirmukh janas, so the internal persons and the external persons. The antarmukh janas are saragrahi Vaishnavas. They see the essence of everything. They're anusar, they follow the essence. But the bharavahi, like the external persons, bahirmukh janas, they're bharavahi grahi, they're carrying a heavy load. Because they're seeing everyone's faults. And sometimes there's a lot of faults to see. If you see all those faults, it's going to make you very heavy. You become so heavy, you won't be able to dance in kirtan anymore. We'll lose all our happiness. So the Saragrahi Vaishnavas, they don't see the external things. They don't become disturbed if they see someone offer the ghee lamp before the incense. They're not disturbed that the devotees can't pronounce Sanskrit nicely. Or maybe they don't know a lot of verses and can't give a nice class. Because they see the holy name. And as long as the holy name is present, everything is okay.
Пока,
There's an important verse in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Mantratas tantratas chidram desha kalaha vastutaha. In terms of your mantra and tantra, your organized religion, there may be chidra or fault. Desha kalaha vastutaha. In terms of time, place, and object. But sarvam karoti nischidram, all that chidra goes away. All that fault goes away. Anu sankirtanam tava, with the chanting of the holy names. We have to understand what is this movement of Srila
Prabhupada.
People who are bahirmukjanas, they see the movement differently than people who are antarmukjanas. The bahirmukjanas, they see corporate ISKCON. And they're always thinking in terms of the managers, and what are the GBC doing, and what are the rules? But the antarmukjanas, those internal devotees, they just see the chanting of the holy name. And as long as that chanting is going on, they see everything's just fine. When Srila Prabhupada first signed the legal papers inaugurating ISKCON as a society in New York, was a great moment, a moment of culmination of many, many years of work for him. But after he signed that document, Srila Prabhupada became sober. And he told the devotees, actually, we don't need this. We can just sit underneath a tree and chant Hare Krishna. But if we do that, who will come? So Srila Prabhupada called this the Hare Krishna movement. Because his desire was to spread the chanting of Krishna's names. The institution was a medium for helping to accomplish that. People who complain about the institution and don't see the chanting going on are like someone who gets a gift in the mail and without looking at the gift they just complain about the package. It's important that we see the essence of what Srila Prabhupada wanted. This Hare Krishna movement means to save the fallen souls in this world. Srila Prabhupada has described this in a number of places. We are asking people without any argument or political purpose.
Thank you.
of that sound. We're simply asking that you chant Hare Krishna, that's all. Wherever we open our branches, our only business is that we're requesting people to chant Hare Krishna. He said, we don't want anything. We don't want to do any business. We're simply spreading this Hare Krishna mantra. That's the purpose of this movement. And for that purpose, we can use management, we can use buildings, we can use money and use books. We should have more of them. But if you think the movement is just the buildings and the legal papers and the money and the books, then you're not really associating with ISKCON. My Guru Maharaj, she asked, what is ISKCON? I said, very simple answer. ISKCON is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So he said, who's really a member? He said, that person who's Krishna conscious. Once he said this, and I was sitting in front of him in the class, and he pointed at me and he said, Madhavananda, not joined yet. Some people ask me, when did you join ISKCON? I say, I haven't joined yet. I'm hoping to join. This Krishna conscious movement is described by Jagadananda Pandit in his Prema Vivarta. Therein he describes the sojourn, the journey of the living entity. Amitya Krishna Dada, hey, forgets, I'm a servant of Krishna. Then he becomes a slave of Maya. And he wanders around eternally in the material world. It's not a very nice vacation to go on. Kabu Raja, Kabu Raja, Kabu Raja, Kabu Raja, Kabu Kabu Suki, Kabu Kita, Kita, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Sometimes you're a great king. Kabu Praja, sometimes you're just a citizen. Kabu Vipra, sometimes you're a Brahmin. Kabu Sudra, sometimes you're just a Sudra. Kabu Duki, sometimes you're very unhappy. Kabu Suki, sometimes you're feeling very happy. Kabu Kita Shudra, sometimes you become a worm and stool. Kabu Swarge, sometimes you go to the heavenly planets. Kabumate, and sometimes you're on this earth planet. Narakeva Kabu, sometimes you go to hell. Kabu Deva, sometimes you're a demigod. Kabu Daitya, sometimes you're a demon. Kabu Dasa Prabhu. And sometimes you become a servant. So, what is the hope for the living entity in such a situation? Taking birth in one body after another. One day, good fortune arises. And you get to meet a devotee. And in that association with the devotee, you hear something about Nija Tattva, about your position as a spirit soul. After hearing from such sadhus, our spiritual life begins. Understand who you are, then you don't want to be involved in this material entanglement anymore. I've had enough. I've had enough boyfriends, enough girlfriends. Enough parents and children and friends. My dear Lord, I've been drowning in this ocean of material existence. Wherever I go, whether it's in Hungary, whether it's in Argentina, whether it's in Moscow, or Dnipropetrovsk, or New York, the streets all look the same. The people's lives are all the same. They don't know what they're here for. So he prays, my dear Lord, Prapana Bhaya Bhanjano, please break the fear of this material world. Please save me from my enemies. Who are your enemies? Putra, Mitra, Griha, Kulat. Your wife. Your husband. Your children. Your friends. There's a saying in England, God save me from my friends. So when we become disgusted with these material relationships, Tina Vaba Jinu Maya Kori Hoi Hoi. At that time, the living entity begins to cry. I've served this material energy for so long. What am I doing? The living entity then begins to cry, Krishna, Krishna, help me. And Krishna's cell phone starts ringing. Someone's calling me. My Lord, I'm your eternal servant. Having left the shelter of your lotus feet, my life has become destroyed. And then when you begin to cry to Krishna, not just some religious ceremonies. But when you begin to cry, Krishna responds. Krishna immediately releases that living entity from material entanglement. Kolya, you can't run away from home. Your mother will cry. And they'll come and capture you and take you back. But if you cry to Krishna, then Krishna will make some arrangement. He'll release you from that entanglement. When that living entity then becomes free from Maya's spell, then he begins to develop bhakti. And the jiva gets the shelter of Krishna's feet. How does that shelter come? Jagadananda Pandit describes. Sadhu Sangha Krishna Nam, hey, what the joy? Samsara Jitra Nam, I want association with devotees and the holy name. If we chant the holy name with sincerity, then Krishna will send us devotees. You may be lamenting, I have no devotee association. But if you start chanting Hare Krishna sincerely, then Krishna may reveal, hey, some of the people you're living with in the ashram are very nice devotees.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the people in your family are very nice devotees. Kolya, maybe even your mother. So we have to associate with devotees and give up association of non-devotees. Sadhu Sangha Krishna Nam, Ematrichai. In association with devotees, the holy name will come. But in association of non-devotees? Sadhu Sangha Bhai Krishna Nam, Nahi Bhai, Namah Shadhu Bhai Raja Jabba Association with non-devotees, the holy name won't appear. We need to associate with devotees. This is the purpose of our movement, is to teach people to cry for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, he's described in the Nectar of Devotion. The Path of Perfection, I'm sorry. Nectar of Devotion, anyway. Chapter 9, Nectar of Devotion. One should learn how to cry for the Lord. One should learn this small technique. And he should be very eager and actually cry to become engaged in some particular type of service. Prabhupada said, such tears are the price for the highest perfection. So this is how our spiritual life really begins. We have a bhakti program, we have a bhakti shastri program, we have the temple Sunday feast program, we have so many programs. And we should take part in these programs with enthusiasm. But we should see the essence of these programs. These programs are not meant to help us to advance in our career in Krishna consciousness. They're not meant to help one become a member of a religion. They're not meant to help one acquire some information. But they're there to help us begin our spiritual life. What will you do in your spiritual life? Wouldn't it be nice if you could meet Krishna? And Krishna would tell us, I want you to distribute books. I want you to take care of the deity of Lord Jagannath. Everything would be very simple. Sometimes we live in India and I see devotees coming from all over the world to Mayapur and Vrindavan. I know Mahabhagavat Prabhu sees this also. We see them walking around like this. Where will I go today? What will I do? What am I going to eat today? Let's have some fun. And they have no direction where they're going. Sometimes they're walking around like this, and they fall in the ditch, the sewer ditch in Vrindavan. So we need some direction, otherwise you don't know where you're going to step. And I see even amongst devotees we're not very fixed. People, devotees are always coming, Prabhuji, can you give me some advice? My Gurudev told me to do this service here, but I'd really like to go to Vrindavan and join the 24-hour kirtan. Well, I have this idea to learn to play electric guitar, and then some of my friends are going to start traveling, and we're going to have a Hare Krishna rock and roll band, and we're going to preach all over the world. Or someone else comes and I think I'll go to Hollywood and I'll become a movie star and then I can preach about Krishna consciousness in the movies. It means your bhakti hasn't begun. We have to have some instructions from Krishna. And Krishna speaks to us through the form of Sri Guru. We want to have some instruction, some idea from Guru, from Krishna. But that instruction from Krishna comes through the medium of Sri Guru. Therefore it's said that acharyara matta jai se matta sar. The essence of our spiritual life is to please our Gurudev. And someone who has faith in their guru, someone who follows the instruction of their guru, they have everything. The poet Sanatan Das, he describes that such a person, he's always living in Vrindavan. If we're always associating with the instruction of Guru. But the question comes, how do we find such a person? How do we get Guru? Again, there's two types of ideas from the Bahirmukjhanas and the Antarmukjhanas. Our Bahirmukjhana friends, they say, you get a ticket and come here. They say, Arjun Krishna Prabhu, you should come here. I can show you who's guru. But don't listen to them. They're all bogus people. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has described how we get guru. It's not a question of the GBC making a vote. It's not that you pass the Bhakti Shastri test and then Guru comes to you. First of all, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, at the dawn of our spiritual life, meaning in the beginning of our spiritual life, we sincerely and with complete submission and self-surrender pray to God for receiving the protection of Sadguru. When Krishna sees our sincerity and our devotion, then he'll send a real guru to us. Otherwise, it's impossible for us to find Sadguru by our own fallible energy. If we guide ourselves by our own energy, we'll come across the pseudo-gurus, the fake gurus. What is a fake guru? Very simple. A fake guru is someone who's going to give you something other than Krishna. Guru is Krishna's representative. So a fake guru is someone who's not really Krishna's representative. He may be Maya's representative. Guru is someone who Krishna sends. If I decide that I want to study the life and teachings of Arjuna Krishna Prabhu. Because we're going to write an encyclopedia about his life and teachings. And I go to him, Prabhuji, will you please let me interview you, tell me about your life and teachings? Arjuna Krishna will say, nyet, nyet. So I have to find someone who's his bona fide representative. We have to meet his secretary. His press representative. And he can tell us about Arjuna Krishna. I'm a very fortunate person. Everyone in Hungary will tell you that. Because even though I have the disqualification of being born in America, I have a Hungarian wife. Very good. I live in India, I don't live in Hungary. Now what if I decide one day that I'm going to open up a branch of the Hungarian embassy in Bhubaneswar because I have a Hungarian wife. What will they do? They'll come and lock me up in jail. Because I have no authorization. So, aqua. Guru requires two things, authorization and qualification. Guru means Krishna's representative. Krishna sends his representative. Not this devotee or that devotee calls you up on the telephone, Prabhuji, you come. You ask him, excuse me, did Krishna tell you to phone me? You heard some voice from the sky? Huh? I want to listen to Krishna. I'm not going to listen to so many people who may give me so many different pieces of advice. Even they may be devotees, even they may be devotees in our own society. For Srila Prabhupada's pleasure, I offer respect and I cooperate with all the managers in his society. But that doesn't change the fact that I have a right, I have an obligation to myself to decide who I'm going to reveal my heart to. I have a right, I have an obligation to myself. Someone may be a manager of the institution and we cooperate because otherwise how will things go on? And if that person inspires my heart, they may also be my spiritual guide. But if they don't, I have a right to take advice and reveal my heart to someone I'm inspired by. It's not a mechanical thing. But the Bahirmukh Janas are always trying to make it into a mathematical formula. They're always trying to take Krishna out of the equation. Because when everything becomes mechanical, then Krishna disappears. We need to learn to keep Krishna in the center. If we don't do that, then the whole world is on fire. If we don't see Krishna, if we don't take shelter of Krishna, then this very wonderful house that Srila Prabhupada built, it may catch on fire. In the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, it's described that one day, Krishna took hundreds and thousands of cows and cowherd boys and they went to the forest known as Bandiravan. While the boys began playing, some of the cows wandered off to eat grass. It was very, very hot and the grass was very dry. And then suddenly, a terrible forest fire began. And then at that time the boys, they started calling out, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Rakshamam, Krishna, Krishna, Pahimam, Krishna, please protect us. Krishna asked them, why did you leave me? If you had told me why you were leaving, then I could have solved the problem very quickly, but you forgot me, and now there's some big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, that fire was all around them and they were going to die. So Krishna wanted to save the boys. What did he tell them to do? Close your eyes. Can you do that? In a big fire like that, you'll close your eyes? The boys, they thought, Krishna knows a lot of mantras and secret things. Mantras have to be chanted secretly, so he must chant some special mantra. But the truth was, Krishna told the boys to close their eyes because Krishna was a little nervous. Krishna was about to swallow the whole forest fire. But he thought, previously, when I ate some mud, some dirt, the boys, they told Mother Yashoda, and I got in big trouble. And now if they go and tell her they saw me eating fire, what is my mother going to say? So he told the boys to close their eyes. Then Krishna, who's a master of all mystics, he swallowed that fire up. So our acharyas have described that this pastime also can be seen in an allegorical way, although it's an historical event. The word go means cows. But the word go also means senses. The cow's senses took them away from Krishna looking for grass. And they became trapped in that dry grass. Our senses also take us away from Krishna. And that dry grass means old age. And old age, although everything becomes dry, still we want to enjoy. When the boys and cows began to cry for Krishna, Krishna came. But Krishna doesn't come when we cry for him, when we call his names. Because we're not crying for Krishna with our whole heart. Krishna told the boys to close their eyes. Why? Because those eyes are the things which took them away from Krishna. Srila Thakura Bhaktivinoda, he comments on this pastime of the forest fire. Paraspara vividata atma dhava vanir bhayankaraha bakshito harina sakshad brajadhama subartina. This forest fire represents quarrel amongst the devotees. Quarrel amongst different Vaishnava groups. And it was swallowed by the Lord in order to protect the land of Braj. So why did Krishna tell the boys to close their eyes? Because they were seeing something separate from Krishna. And that thing that they were seeing, which is separate from Krishna, took them away from Krishna. What is it that's separate from Krishna? It means we're criticizing, we're seeing faults in others. And when we start criticizing devotees, then the forest fire begins in Prabhupada's house. So if we want to be protected, if we want to be saved from this terrible forest fire, the first thing we have to do is close our eyes. Don't see faults in others. Srila Prabhupada writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the qualification of a devotee is that he's adosha darshi. He doesn't see any faults in others. If we start seeing faults in other people, then everything will be destroyed. So we have to see, we want to become Krishna's devotee. We want to please Krishna. We're very fortunate. We have Srila Prabhupada. We have Naranjan Maharaj. We have so many wonderful spiritual masters in our society. But we should understand that Krishna has a relationship with everyone. So we need to learn how to be very faithful to my Gurudev and to my Param Gurudev, Srila
Prabhupada.
But at the same time, we also need to learn to respect all devotees. Because everyone is Krishna's devotee. If we think that only devotees in this group are Vaishnavas, then how are we going to please Krishna? At the same time, Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says that Sujata Yashya Snigda Sadhu Sangha Sutobare. We should look out for association of sadhus. Where do we find those sadhus? Who are they? Those sadhus are someone who's more advanced than us. Bare means bigger than me, literally. And they should be snigda. They should be affectionate. If they have no affection for me, how will I get any mercy? And they should be svajatiya. They should be from my family. Krishna has come to me in the form of this movement. My revered spiritual master, he said that Srila Prabhupada was very, very special. He did something which no one has ever done before. Srila Prabhupada went by himself to the west. And in less than 10 years, Srila Prabhupada had established over 100 temples and initiated over 10,000 disciples. He wrote over 80 books. It's really an amazing thing what he did. Some people, they say that it could have been anybody, anyone who would have gone to America, the same thing would have happened. But I'm sorry, that's just not true. I have a habit, ever since I was a little boy, I like to collect books. And I like especially to collect Bengali books, old Bengali books. And we were very interested. I found one big book of magazines, Bengali Gaudiya Vaishnav magazines, very old magazines. And I found that one of them spoke about a Vaishnav who in the 1930s had gone to New York City. He was a Gaudiya Vaishnav. His name was Premananda Bharati. And then, later on, I found some other book. There was another Vaishnav who, in the 1950s, he went all over America. He spoke in over 200 universities. And everywhere he went, he wore a dhoti and kurta, he wore tilak, he chanted Hare Krishna, he talked about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His name was Mahanam Vrata Brahmachari. And then, again, just before Srila Prabhupada came to America, one of the most famous poets, celebrities in America, he had come to India. His name was Allen Ginsberg.
He came to India.
Yes. And when he was in India, he heard about Krishna. And he got a harmonium. And he started chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And he went back to America. He was on television telling everyone to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. But no one listened to him. Premananda Bharati went in the 1930s, but he didn't even make one devotee. Mahanam Vrata Brahmachari went in the 1950s and spoke to over 200 universities, but he didn't even make one devotee. I've read some of their articles. They were both very nice Vaishnavas. But no one was interested in them. And then one of the most famous people, the hippie era, the guru of the hippies, Allen Ginsberg, came to India, went back to America and started telling people to chant Hare Krishna. And no one listened to him. But when this old man arrived in Boston Harbor, the age of 70 years old, with 40 rupees in his pocket only, he wasn't famous, he had no idea where he was going to go. but he was meditating on the order of his spiritual master. One day, a devotee said that he was chanting japa in one park in New York. And some old man came up to him and said, "Are you a Hare Krishna?" The devotee said, "Da." And that old man told him, "I met the founder of your Hare Krishna movement." "He came, I used to come here in the park and I would see him sitting here all by himself. This is before Srila Prabhupada had any followers, before he had his center or anything. And I felt sorry, who is this strange old man dressed in a funny way? And I went and started talking with him. "Sir, can I help you?" And he said, "Your Swami just laughed." And he told me, "No, it's okay, everything's fine." And he told me, he said, "I have many temples. And I have thousands of followers. And I have so many books. But they just haven't manifested yet." Srila Prabhupada saw that. Srila Prabhupada was very special. And one occasion when Prabhupada was becoming older, the devotees were worried what to do because there were so many devotees and they were thinking, maybe it's better we don't bother Srila Prabhupada with our little problems. Mukunda Maharaj, he went to Prabhupada, he said, "Prabhupada, we were thinking, we're troubling you so much, we were thinking maybe one of your god brothers could come from India and can come and stay with us and he can teach us." Prabhupada didn't say anything. He just became very grave. And then Prabhupada started crying. And Prabhupada told him, he said, "My spiritual master was no ordinary person." "He saved me." And Mukunda Maharaj realized that his request wasn't a proper request. There may be so many bona fide devotees and we want to respect all of them. If we have some prejudice and we start thinking only they're only devotees in ISKCON, they're not devotees out there. Krishna will never be pleased with you. But at the same time, we also have to be very faithful to our Gurudev and to Srila Prabhupada. It requires some maturity. I remember we spoke about this last year when I was here. Just like sometimes the parents, they tell a four-year-old child, "Don't go outside the fence in your yard." The child says, "Why?" Oh, What is the parent going to explain to the child? Someone may kidnap the child, someone may give him some poison, someone... A car may hit the child, a dog may attack the child. But the parent can't explain all those things. So the parent just says, outside the fence, everyone is very bad. The child says, oh. So the child stays inside the fence. And the child is protected in that way. But if the child grows up and becomes a 35-year-old man, and one of his friends comes to see him one day and says, hey, let's go to the Rath Yatra festival. And that man says, I'm sorry, but my mommy told me that I can't go outside the fence. There's something wrong. Sometimes the child, when he's a little baby and somebody comes walking by the fence, the child starts shaking his finger at him saying, you're a bad person! And the people, when they walk by, they laugh. It's very cute and sweet, the little child is doing that. But if it's a 35-year-old man doing that, that's strange. So, we should respect everyone. But we should understand, this is my home. And in my spiritual life, if I disrespect my parents, everything will be spoiled. We should respect all devotees. Prabhupada, he said that this ISKCON movement is for everyone. He said we're a non-sectarian society. And our members include people from Christian, Jewish, and Muslim, as well as Hindu faiths. The aim of ISKCON is not to found a new religious sect, but to invoke the living entities' dormant love of God. Here. And thus provide the human society of all faiths with a common platform of clear theistic knowledge and practice. Members of ISKCON may retain their own respective religious faiths. As ISKCON is meant to establish a clear, practical, common formulation of the common ideal of all theists and to defeat the unnecessary dogmatic wranglings that now divide and invalidate the theistic camp.
ИСКОН предназначен для того, чтобы установить ясную практическую общую форму, общий идеал для последователей всех религий, для всех теистов, и победить ненужную догматические ссоры, которые делят и уничтожают
Prabhupada wrote a letter similarly, giving puja, to Jayapataka Maharaj in
1970.
He said, regarding your questions, how to offer respects to sannyasis. He said that every sannyasi you see, even a Mayavadi sannyasi, you should offer him respects. Prabhupada said there will be no harm. We should respect all sadhus. Prabhupada writes again in the 19th chapter of Nectar of Devotion. There are many societies and associations of pure devotees. He said that there are many societies and associations of pure devotees. It doesn't mean that ISKCON is the only one. Prabhupada says, and if someone with just a little faith begins to associate with such societies, then his advancement to pure devotional service is rapid. So this requires some maturity. When you're a little baby, they tell you, don't go outside the yard. If we run outside the yard prematurely, we may get hit by a car and killed. I tell you, I've met many sadhus in many different groups in India. And all of them tell their followers, don't go to other groups. The Babajis say that, the Gaudiya Math says that, the Goswamis say that, everyone says that. Because it will be detrimental to your spiritual life. If we go here and there and we hear so many different opinions about someone, we may become confused. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's described how Mahaprabhu rejected Mukunda. The devotee said, what was Mukunda's fault? And the Lord said, he's going to this group, and then that group, and this other group, and every day a different group. And when he associates with the Sri Vaishnavas, he acts like he likes to worship Vishnu. And when he associates with the Ramanandi Vaishnavas, then he likes to worship Lord Ramachandra. And when he associates with the Mayavadis, he said, yes, Sarvam Kala Vidam Brahma, this is correct. And then sometimes he comes here and acts like he's part of our group. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I won't see his face. Because he's going here and there in so many different places. It requires some maturity. With all of our heart and sincerity, we should love and respect everyone. What to speak of someone who becomes a Christian? What to speak of someone who becomes a vegetarian Christian? What to speak of someone who's a vegetarian Hindu? would to speak of someone who's a Vaishnava. We want to love all devotees. But this is my family. This is what Krishna gave me. And everyone says like this. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing with all the many different groups of devotees at the Rath Yatra. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he says that he was associating with all their sampradayas. Means they were all different groups. It means they maintained their particular family group. And the Lord was visiting all of them. Even at the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it wasn't all one. There have always been different groups of devotees because a Vaishnava is someone who stays with their guru. We were speaking about how good fortune arises. When good fortune arises, then Krishna comes to us in the form of guru. And we take initiation from that person. If later on you decide, oh, I don't like my guru. My guru doesn't know so many verses. My guru has a Western white skin body. And I see another guru, he's an Indian body, he's very old, very good. I'll go there. Sanatana Goswami says, Sadhu Sabadan, be careful. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, he quotes Brahma Vivarta Purana. Upadestaram amnaya gattam pariharantiye tanmitan apikravyadaha kritagnya nopabhunjate bodha kalushitastena duratmyam prakati kritam guryena parityaktatas tena chakta purahadihi. If someone rejects a bona fide guru, that person is described as ungrateful. And when they die, even the vultures and crows, they won't eat their body. Pratipadya gurum yastu moha viparipadyate sakalpa kotim narake pachyate purushodama. If one time someone says, you're my guru, I've accepted you as my guru. If later on, out of some illusion, that person rejects that guru, then pachyate purushadama, they become naradama, the lowest of men. And sakalpa kotim narake, they'll suffer for millions of years in hell. So we should be faithful to our guru. But what if you get some inspiration in another Vaishnava? There are different gurus. There's Diksha Guru and there's Siksha Guru. It's not that we place more stress on one than the other. Once a devotee asked my Guru Maharaj, who is more prominent, the Diksha Guru or the Siksha Guru? My Guru Maharaj gave a very nice answer. He said, whoever is prominent in your heart. Raghunath Das Goswami, he was initiated by Yadunandanacharya, thank you. Yadunandanacharya was not a low-class person. He was initiated by Advaitacharya. He was close friends with Haridas Thakur. But who do we think of as the guru of Raghunath Das Goswami? We think of Swarup Damodar. Because Swarup Damodar was a Siksha guru. The tradition is that if you take Diksha from someone and then later you feel some inspiration, I want to take Siksha from someone else, then you should ask permission from your Diksha Guru. And my Guru Maharaj said, if he won't give you permission, you can't go. He said that if your guru, your Diksha guru, is a Vaishnav, and the person you want to take Siksha from is also a Vaishnav, then your Diksha guru, he'll allow you. But we should see our Gurudev as our everything. There's a story that I like to tell in this regard. A few hundred years ago, there was one Goswami named Nandakishore Goswami. And he was in charge of the place known as Nityananda Vat. Nityananda Vat is also known as Sringara Vat. It's on the bank of the Jamuna, not very far away from the Radha Damodar temple. There are still deities of Gaur Nityananda there who were installed by Nandakishore Goswami. Nandakishore Goswami. This Nandakishore Goswami was a great scholar. He had many disciples. One of his disciples was named Bondu. Bondu wasn't a very high-tech disciple. He wasn't very expert in computer programming to help his guru with the computer. Of course, this was 200 years ago. There was no computers. He wasn't a big scholar. He was just very simple. And so Nandakishore Goswami told him, Bondu, you take care of the cows. So every day, Bondu was taking the cows across the Jamuna to Bandiravan to graze the cows there. One day, when Bondu went to Bandiravan, he met some Brijbasi people.
Bondu
And they told him, it's very good that you come here to herd the cows. They said, did you know that to this very day, Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, he's coming every day to Bandiravan to herd the cows. And if you're very fortunate, you may get to see him. Bandhu was very simple. He became so excited. So every day he was going, he was looking for Krishna and Balaram. But many days went by and he didn't see him. Weeks and months went by. Years went by. And Bandhu didn't see Krishna. He was always thinking, where is Krishna? He's supposed to be here. I want to see him. But he never saw him. Finally, it became too much for Bandhu. And he just began crying. I'm so unfortunate. I'm so fallen. Krishna won't come to see me. Some young Brijbasi boys were playing nearby. And they heard the sound of someone crying in a very piteous voice. The boys thought, maybe some bad thing has happened. They came running. And they saw the sadhu with many cows, and the sadhu was sitting there and crying. The boy said, hey Baba, is everything okay? Did one of your cows die? Did you hurt yourself? And Bandhu, he said, I want Krishna. And he's not appearing to me. He's not coming. And the boys looked at each other and said, oh no, another one of these Hare Krishna people. He said, Baba, let us give you some good advice. We live here in Vrindavan our whole life. And we've seen a lot of sadhus like you coming here. And you all start chanting as Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And then after some time you just start crying and you waste your life. Said, look, we're Brijbasis, we know about Krishna. Krishna's very tricky. He'll break your heart. Don't worry about this Krishna. That's our advice. You just be our friend. We need a drug, huh? We can go, we'll herd the cows together. So Bandhu made some friends. And every day when he would go to Bandiravan, he would meet with those boys and they would talk and play and do different things together. One day, Bandhu was leaving his Guru Maharaj's ashram and Nandikishore Goswami said, hey Bandhu, what's that on your head? Bandhu said, Guru Maharaj, it's a bag of flour. What's that for? Oh, Guru Maharaj, I have some friends in Bandiravan. I promised today we were going to have a feast. You never told me about your friends. Who are these friends? There's some Brijbasi boys, Guru Maharaj. And they also have some cows, and we spend time together. Oh, tell me about them. Oh, Guru Maharaj, my best friend, the leader amongst all of them, his name is Kanu. Guru Maharaj, he's the most beautiful person I've ever seen. He has soft black curly hair which like frames his face. He has beautiful big lotus eyes and rosy cheeks and lips. His teeth are very white like kunda flowers. And when he smiles, the whole world seems to become brighter. And Guru Maharaj, he has a very beautiful gold dhoti. He has a peacock feather he always wears on his head. And he's always playing on a flute. Guru Maharaj, I've never seen anyone who could play a flute like my friend Kanu. I've seen the most amazing thing with my own eyes. When he starts playing the flute, the cows, they're eating the grass, suddenly the cows become stunned and they start crying tears of love, and the grass just falls out of their mouth. Guru Maharaj, one day I saw Kanu playing his flute on the bank of the Jamuna, and suddenly the Jamuna River stopped moving, and then it started moving backwards. And one day we all went together to Mahavan to take care of the cows there, and my friend Kanu was standing on a stone playing his flute, and Guru Maharaj, do you know what happened? The stone melted under his own feet. It's still there today. His footprints are there. Nandi Kishore Goswami was listening to all this. Kanu, you said, Bandhu, you didn't tell me about your friends. Today, when you go to see your friends, tell them that your Guru Maharaj is inviting all of them to come to the ashram tomorrow for a big bandar, a big feast. And Bandhu said, really? Guru Maharaj, my friends can all come? Yes! Bandhu was very excited. So that day when he went to Bandhiravan, he met with Krishna and Balaram and all their friends. And they were playing and doing so many things. Bandhu forgot about the instruction from his guru. And then after a little bit he remembered it. And he said, hey Kanu, tomorrow my Guru Maharaj is inviting everyone. You will all come to the ashram and we'll have a big feast in the ashram. Krishna bowed his head down. He said, Kanu, Bandhu, I'm very sorry, but you have to tell your Guru Maharaj that we won't go there.
Krishna opustil голову и сказал, Бандху, Мне очень жаль, если я приеду сказать своему гуру Махараджу, что мы туда не пойдем.
Банду, Кану, it's my Guru Maharaj, you have to come.
Банду сказал, Кану, это мой гуру Махарадж, ты должен прийти.
Don't tease me like this.
Не шутите со мной.
Кришна said, you tell your Guru Maharaj that he won't see me in this lifetime.
Скажи своему Гуру Махараджу, что в этой жизни он меня не увидит.
When Bandhu heard Krishna's words, suddenly his lips started quivering.
Когда Бандху услышал своего друга, внезапно губы его стали дрожать.
Бандху didn't say a word. He just suddenly turned around and started walking away very quickly.
Он не сказал ни слова, но вдруг резко повернулся и стал уходить.
Then Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was sought after by the greatest of yogis and devotees, he started running after Bandhu. Hey, Bandhu, where are you going? Bandhu wouldn't even turn around. He said, you're not my friend anymore. He said, if you won't come and see my guru, then you're not my friend and I don't ever want to see you again. Krishna ran after Bandhu and he caught a hold of his kurta. Krishna said, you didn't understand me. What I meant is that Balaram can't come tomorrow because it's his birthday. But definitely I can come, your guru is inviting me, I have to go. So this is the kind of faith we should have with our guru. This is the kind of faith that Prahlad Maharaj had in Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Nisringadev, he came to Prahlad, he said, Prahlad, you're my dear devotee. I want you to come and be with me. Prahlad said, I'm sorry, I can't go with you. Prabhuji, if Krishna comes personally and invites you to come, will you go? Kolya? Prahlad Maharaj said, I'm sorry, I have something more important to do. What is more important than going with Krishna? Prahlad explained, the 7th canto, chapter 9, text 28. Evam janam nipatitam brabhavahi kupe kama vikama manuya prapatam prasangat kritvatma sat surasena bhagavan grihita soham katam navishijeta vabritya sevam. He said, I can't leave my guru. I have service to do for my Gurudev. My Gurudev saved me. He helped me. He accepted me. He preached to me. He gave me Krishna. He gave me you. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. So ham katam nu vishujay tavabritya sevam. How can I leave his service? I can't. This is bhakti. We respect all Vaishnavas. We should become so happy when we see another Vaishnava. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's described that everyone is a Vaishnav. Ananda Brahmande Chakrasadam Haridas Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram. Jata Sabha Moradas, everyone in all the unlimited universes, they're my servants. Everyone, not just devotees in the Neptropetros temple. Not just devotees in ISKCON. Not just Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Not just Vaishnavas. But everyone. And Ete KJ Pada Hingse Sage Ayanas. Anyone who criticizes another person, they'll be destroyed. If you start criticizing like this, fire will come in the house. And this wonderful house that Srila Prabhupada has built will catch on fire. Don't criticize others. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, just two things, you do these two things. Who truly jagat Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Anandika Hoije, don't criticize anyone. Anandika Hoije, Sakrit Krishna Boli, and chant Krishna's name. And he says, if you do this, Satya, Satya Munitare, Urari Bohele. Satya means in truth. Satya also means I vow. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, if you do these two things, I promise, I vow. That Udari Bohele, I'll deliver you, I'll give you Krishna Prema. So this, if someone behaves like this, they're a real member of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. They may be a Muslim, they may be a Christian, they may be a Jew. But if someone doesn't criticize anyone, and if they chant Krishna's name, and they try to cooperate with this society, they serve Srila Prabhupada. They want to see the essence of things. If they don't just see the buildings and the institution, but they see the essence, the chanting of the holy names. That person is a real member of ISKCON. And I hope that all of you bless me that I can one day join. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki
jai,
Samaveda Bhaktavinda ki
jai,
Goprēmanandī
hari hari
bho, Vāṃśa kāpatarūbhiśca kṛpa-sindhubhyo eva ca, Patitānaṁ pāvanebhyo vaiṣṇavebhyo namo. It's very late, sorry. Hey Arjun Prabhu, come a second. You tell him, I was hoping I could give him a little soup tonight. Is it possible still? I know it's late. Are there any questions or comments anybody has? Mother Avadatta. She has a question. Yes. I don't know. Is your question that, are you asking, did he take permission? We don't know of any recorded description given that Raghunath Das Goswami took permission from Yadunandana Acharya. But there is evidence that his guru gave him permission. Because the Adi Guru is Lord Nityananda and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If they come to you and give you permission, that's also okay. Хорошо? Okay, anything else? I want to thank all of you so much for serving Srila Prabhupada and working together. It's not easy to cooperate together. But it's very important. If we cooperate together, then Srila Prabhupada will be pleased with us and we'll get some mercy. So tomorrow is our last program we'll do. This is our last program here in the temple. I don't know, somehow Mother Avadatta and Tarun Krishnapu, they spent a lot of money to bring Krishna Kundanai here. And I feel a little bad, I don't know if it's worthwhile for them, us coming. And anyway, I'm very happy to have gotten your association
this day.
And we've learned a lot from all the devotees here. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki
jai,
Samaveda Bhaktavinda ki
jai.
Завтра программа в лесу Магмадананда Прабу будет давать свою лекцию.
Thank you.